be your sanctuary, pure and holy, be tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living, that's your desire, sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen. That's your desire, to be a sanctuary of the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading in Revelation 1. And we begin with about verse 12 through 18. I hope you're enjoying the messages from the book of Revelation as much as I'm enjoying preaching it. So, the Lord be with us. Verse 12 through 18. Father, we thank you for all of the things that you've given unto us, and we know that you give them to us without a cost. There's nothing involved in it, nothing we have to do. Revelation, the prophet said, is sovereign. You give it to those who you desire to give it to. And Father, we thank you. We love you, and we pray that you would just come among us tonight and speak to us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and guide us, Father. Forgive our sins, lead us in your love, Lord, and keep us. Have your way with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. I know all of you know that today's Terrence's birthday, so when you've got a son that's 25, so you know you're getting on up in age. Yeah, he's a little over 25. He's not quite reverse on that, but I think he's about, 43? Is it 42 or 3? Okay, 43. So that's, So when the middle one is 43, you know there's one above and one below. Amen. But Revelations 1, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the pouch with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been trying to cover these things, and go very slowly, because there's no need of getting in a hurry. The rapture take place, and we'll still have plenty to preach on, so we don't worry about that part and everything. So just, pray that the Lord would guide us in what to say. We took a message there and spoke about, you turn to see the voice. And we found out the voice and the person is the same. All right? See, then seeing that, then we saw that where was he shown as in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. In the midst, or the middle, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man. Now, it doesn't say the Son of Man. It says one likened to the Son of Man. All right, we'll get to that on a little bit more in a few minutes, but, and it shows that he was girt about the paps with a golden girdle, showing that this was the judgment seat of Christ. Because we covered the message showing the paps being feminine, but it shows See, the judgment, this is the judgment seat of Christ, or the white throne judgment from Daniel 7 that you're looking at, because that's wherever I shall see him. And the only way or the only place that ever I will ever be able to see him is at the white throne judgment. Because some will be perish after then, and you couldn't put them in another place. And you can't say, well, ever I'll see him here because of the TV around the world. That's fine, but they'll see the two witnesses. But still, ever I won't be able to see because everybody doesn't have a TV. You know. So then, but the white throne judgment is the only place where ever I shall see him, because all are going to be there in one form or the other. All right. Now, what is so happy to me is to find out we don't have to stand that white throne. We used to think we did. We used to think we all had to go to the white throne, and we it would be decided whether we were going to go to heaven or not, you know. And not knowing that we were already 1,000 years and at least 1,000 years and 3 and a half, you know, in between where we're talking about. At least that much if it took place right now. See, the rapture would come right now, whatever. You'd still have the 3.5 years of the tribulation, and then you'd have, you know, the binding of Satan, and you'd have the millennial reign, and then you'd have Satan loose for a little season, and nobody knows what that is, and then you'd have the white throne judgment. So that would be a horrible thing to think about, that you would, you know, go into heaven and eternal life and all like that, go to the marriage supper and go on into glory, and then spend a time of 3.5 years while Israel is in the tribulation period, and then you'd wind up and go through the millennium with him, and then you'd have to go to the white throne judgment to be judged whether or not you're going to get eternal life. See, we never thought like that. Right? You remember what I talked about Sunday? The flash card? See, we were still in that C. That's up. A and T. Yeah. We're still in those days thinking, wouldn't we? But now we can look at the words and understand what they are. But you understand what I'm trying to get at now? Ever I shall see him at the white throne judgment. Alright? But we sit with him on the throne and we'll be able to see him. That's why ever I'll see him. See, we sit with him in the throne. Excuse me, let me say it that way, where it'll be, you know, more correctly what I'm trying to bring. In the throne, because not necessarily on the throne. Because when Jesus was speaking about, you know, in Revelation 3 about sit with me in my domain, my kingdom. See, not on the kingdom, in it. Be a part of it. See, we sit with him in the throne, you know, all right? But the rest will come before the throne and have to be judged. So every eye shall see him. So we got the scripture in the correct order, all right? And we talked about the 7 golden candlesticks showing that it was the 7 church ages coming down. And it was there were many, many witnesses, which is the sound of many waters, as we read there in verse 15, the sound of many waters. Why? Because at judgment, we're going to have to speak out against those who were against us. So don't worry about it. You know, you say, well, I just can't stand it. You know, when somebody does something to me, I just have to get even. Don't worry about it. That's not the Christian attitude anyway. All right, first off. But second off, don't worry about it. Somebody does you wrong, don't worry about it. Why? Well, I just can't stand to be done wrong. Well, then you need something about to get to working on the inside of you and the soul, you know, to get that thing right. And then when you do, you'd come to find out that, you know, that none of that wouldn't be worth nothing anyway. But don't worry about it, see? They're not getting by. Because at the white throne judgment, it's all going to be brought back. And they're going to have to answer for what they do with you. All right? So then that's what we're trying to do it now. But now, I ended up the message Sunday, I hope you was catching on and enjoying it. That, see, my whole point is to try to get you to see this statement. By the time you come to this position that we're talking about in the book of Revelations, you cannot separate the groom from the bride. Because you just simply go on just a little further past the millennium, and John talks about the future home coming down talks about the bride, talks about the city. He describes one, talks about the other, vice versa, because you can't separate it. And by the position to where that this is now not talking about the rapture, this is the time of the white throne judgment that's being shown, and what did we talk about Sunday? See, then it's a great thing for me to say this. We'll start in the church ages and see how that down through the church ages there was trouble. There was problems. First church age, you've left your first love. Alright? But yet this is like Brother Brown said about writing about Abraham, you know, that Abraham, you know, he lied, he gave his wife away twice and all this, that, and the other. But in God's writing about Abraham, he never staggered. He never done anything wrong. Why? Because he already seen him pure and clean and everything, you know. So then if we're sitting in the throne with him to judge at the white throne judgment, then all of our sins, all of our doings, all of our problems has already been done away with. And that was a great thrill to me to think about how that before he would start telling in the church ages of what was going to take place, you know, and write about them and how they were going to do wrong in the ages and how they, you know, that they'd go to Nicaea and they'd do things wrong and all, showing. But before he does that, he shows us already on the white throne. He doesn't show us how bad we are and then tries to show us how good he can make us. See? That's what we think it ought to be. That's what we look at it as, isn't it? Well, one of these days the Lord's going to take this away from me. This is going to be done. That's going to be done. And boy, I'll be delivered. When God shows it there, he shows the church already at the white throne sitting with him in judgment, judging the world. So you've already come to that place, see? Brother Branham, I gave you a quote in there. He said, this is not the rapture that we read there in Revelation 1. This is a vision or a scene or showing God in his church. How that Christ and his church becomes one by the new birth. All right? See, then if we become one with him, how can you condemn him? Isn't that what it says in Romans, I believe it is? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It is God that makes righteous. See? How can we, we see ourselves like the church ages will see us. Of our ups and downs. It's just like, we're thinking on this scene, you'll see well and over wherever you get to it. You remember Brother Branham says the bride goes up in Revelation 4:1 and not seen till 19:21, but then he gets to Revelation 6, he said, see, we're back down here on earth. Well, see, he done showed it going up and everything, but then he turns around and drops back to earth to show you where the Antichrist come from, shows you where the beast, the false prophet, etc., shows where they come from and how they're manifest down through the ages up to the time that we would go in the rapture, and then he go on to Israel and the beast and the different things that have taken place there. Right? See, God, you understand the point? God shows us already complete. Right. So truly then, those who he hath justified, he hath already glorified. Now that's in him. You understand what I'm saying? We're still looking at ourselves and our problems. When we get to the church ages, we'll start into that. See, each church age had a problem, had troubles and things. Right? But yet God is showing already finished before it ever starts. Right. That's what I like about the Bible, the way that it's showing to us and the things God does, it's showing us already complete. Right. It's not showing our ups and downs. Right. Not showing our problems that we have. It's showing us already sitting there. Everything finished. See? Done with. Alright? Because see, at the time of this, the scene that we're talking about, the white throne judgment of Revelations 1 there through 12 down through that away, you've already, as I said, went into rapture. The tribulation takes place to Israel. while we're at the marriage supper. All right. Then, at the end of that, Armageddon takes place. See? Destruction of all. And then in the millennium, see? We have already come back with Him in the millennium. All right. Now that's by the time the scene that you're seeing is taking place. All of that's already taken place. And if we're coming back with Him in the millennium, see, then you would go up on the outer rims of the earth, the prophet said. And Gog and Magog takes place. Satan's loose for a little season. Then the white throne judgment. So it's a long ways over there. But my point is, He's showing you here before He even starts the ages. He's showing you how righteous you are and how great you are, because He's describing it, says one like unto the Son of Man. Didn't say the Son of Man standing in there. He didn't say seven candlesticks and here stands the Son of Man, you know, like this, and seven candlesticks back here behind Him, you know, and there's the ages, but here He is. Now it shows Him in the midst. Amen. That's where He's shown that. In other words, what did He see? He saw Him as, how would you do it? Like an overlay of a type of thing would be what we could do. We'd draw out seven golden candlesticks. Brother Al, Sister Anna gave me a thing or a picture I like at home that years ago that's got a lion in it, got a lamb, got a dove. See? And all of them is representing Him. You know, each one of them has something to show about Him. But He can be all of them at the same time and still be the same person. All right, because that's why we believe in the one true and living God. And what did Brother Brown say? I gave you a quote there one day where Brother Brown said, John, I've got you here, and before I give you what to write, I want you to know who I am. All right. Now wait till we get down there in a few minutes to that last scripture, or the scripture we read where, you know, that John bowed down to it. All right, now listen. So if we've already now, my whole point for tonight, it's not the title of the message. The title of the message is At His Feet. This is number 7 of the series, but here's my whole point. By the time you're looking at the scene of the judgment seat of Christ, you've already went through a long ways and a lot of things. You've been eternal over a millennium. Now, Brother Lee Vail said one time, said that was in the plural, which meant thousands. I don't know it. None of my business. Thousands enough. Because we know we're supposed to, somebody's supposed to live 1,000 years, not you and I, because we're going to be eternal in the millennium. We're going to be in glorified bodies in the millennium. That's contrary to a lot of people's teaching in the message, but I can't help that. Right. But see, now, you can't separate the bride from the groom. I gave you a quote where Brother Branham said that the scripture that speaks, where is it? Yeah, it's the rising of the sun. Now it may be 3 or 4 on it because it's switchbackers and forth as I was printing it, so don't worry about it. Just get the one on where it says the rising of the sun, paragraph 34, and the last part of that saying, the last part of the sentence, God never separated the bride from the groom yet, so you know where He's at. The Spirit left Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. Remember, friends, He didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh, and He didn't have. If He'd went up there as God, He'd have never died that kind of death. Can't kill God. But He didn't have to do it. But remember, He went there with you in Him, see. God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, now listen, He saw both male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body, and they are one, the same, same word. The same word spoke of the groom speaks of the bride. Now you can't separate it. I gave you one on another one on the back of that where it says that God is not complete without you. We'll find out in a minute. But now here's my point. If you done passed the millennium, you know, at the white throne when your scene is taking place, then let's turn over to Revelations 19 and see the bride riding back into the millennium, and let's see if you can separate the bride and the groom. Right. Now look at it. Chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, if he's got a name written, you better believe one thing for sure. He's got a name. It's not going to be, you know, I'm saying it this way. It's not going to be Melchizedek written on him and Jesus written on us. It's going to be the same now, so don't worry about it. It'll be the same name written there on you as will him. All right? And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So who is that? That's the Son of Man. Because that's who the Word is, right? And the armies, now, armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white, in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the press of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, how many times have I explained that scripture to you? Look at it. It's in bold letters. Where you got it in the other scripture, it'll say, King, big K, of kings, little K. Revelation 5, it makes us priests and kings. Those are all in little order, or lower case. But now everything's in the same case. In other words, ever who these armies are, which I believe is the bride, don't you? Because that's what the prophet said, here comes the bride back in the millennium. All right? See, then you can't tell any difference from him and you. Even the scriptural verification of it, of the capitalization or the uppercase, shows you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See? So you can't separate it. Now that's my whole point for tonight. You can't separate Christ and his church. Once you see Christ, you see the church. Once you see the church, you see Christ. That should be now. We should see that now. Because see, we're not at the millennium. We're not at the white throne judgment. We're now. But the revelation is now. That's just like the opening of the seals. See? The seals is to Israel. They get the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself to be as God, etc. But we get the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we see what will take place after we leave out of here. Now we see here, while we're here, where we're going to the white throne to sit in the throne with him. And you can't separate us from him. Because we're one. The word that speaks of the groom speaks of the bride. The word that speaks of the bride speaks of the groom. See, we're all one in him, and that's what God has made us. All right? Now watch. See, we have become one with the Word, because that's what we do here. That's what's going to produce a rapture, is to become one with the Word. All right. Now, then once you become one with the Word here, then you and him are one. Him and his Father was one, is that right? Didn't he say, I and my Father's one? Well, can we say that, I and my Father's one? If we can't, there's something wrong with us. But you see, you'll say, well, if I was a whole lot better person, if I was doing this, I was doing that, I could say that. No. You'll never get good enough to say it. You got to say it because he said it. But then that don't give us no excuse to lay back and become lazy, shiftless bums that won't study and pray and seek God. See, we become one with the Word. And you can't tell the difference between him and her. He's in the midst. Now watch. He's in the midst of the candlesticks. So when we do get into the church ages and start, no matter how bad it is, there's always a good. Because he's there in the midst. It's showing the white throne judgment that all of those people that come down through the ages are sitting with him in the white robes. All right, come to the Ancient of Days. The prophet wondered about that, and he said, Brother Jack Moore told him, he said, oh, that's Jesus in his glorified state. He said, I just couldn't see that. I just couldn't see that, he said. Now, let me ask you a question right here. How come he couldn't see that? Now, why couldn't he see that? He could see the wig of authority. And he said, the ancient don't age. But is that all we know about that? Come on now, I'm wanting you to think. Is that all we know about it? Is a quote that the prophet said the Ancient of Days was the Lord Jesus Christ. And it showed him as wigged, you know, full authority. Now remember what we went on with the quote on that one? The wig of authority? How that it was 1963 out there when that the seven angels come down and showed the exact wig. Where is it? Is it somewhere in the church? Is that you? I don't know. The wig of authority showing up in heaven, the church. Because wasn't that the seven golden candlesticks up in heaven? No, 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 that was a wig. What was that wig? We talk of all the things we can see in there, even a white horse. What was that out there in Tucson, Arizona? I thought the prophet said it was something about Jesus Christ that had not been made known. Well, then those seven angels that came to him, a lot of people think that was the seven church age messengers that come to him. I ain't going to argue with nobody about it because that ain't going to put me in a rapture if I know what it was. But what I want to know is what did they tell him? And then I'll quote to you what he said. He said they didn't tell him anything while he was out there. The only thing those angels told him when they met him, go back to Jeffersonville, it will be told you. Now that's a direct quote if you want it. Call me. Go back to Jeffersonville, it'll be told you. What did he see? He saw the seven golden candlesticks. He saw the bride of Christ in each age. That's why when he come back preaching, he started right off preaching on it like that. He preached a message. What? God in simplicity. Showing one true and living God, and where is that? Then he preached a breach. Showing how it would bridge the gap. Then he went into the seals. Showing where the Antichrist started from and where it come down. But showing the revelation of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? See, the same thing that you see here of the wig of authority was the same wig of authority there in 1963 that came down to the prophet. That's why I believe there was his adoption. I mean, I make myself plain what I believe. I believe there was his adoption. Because the prophet on adoption said, God take you out on the backside of the desert, visit you with an angel, give you something for the people. So that's what he done there. Right. But now listen, that ain't going to put you in the rapture. I mean, neither one to know Brother Randall was adopted in 62 or 71 or 95 or 88 or whatever you want to call him. You know. That wouldn't change a bit of you. So he wouldn't even hear at that time. Well, that's how carnal I make it. Right. But now listen. One like unto the Son of Man. He didn't say there that he saw the Son of Man. As I said, he didn't see the Son of Man standing there and seven candlesticks back behind him or something. He saw seven golden candlesticks That was the first thing he saw. Now, when we get over to Revelation 4 and 5, this will help. Because John sees a throne. He stops. He looks at the throne. But then he sees one on the throne. It's opening in stages. The scene is unfolding further and further. So John here, he sees first seven golden candlesticks. He hears the voice and he knows the voice is coming from the candlesticks. And he knows it's the voice of Jesus Christ. But then he looks and he sees one in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. Showing the church has become the Word. All right? Now you can't separate her. See? One like unto the Son of Man. But let me ask you again, see, why was it the prophet said that just didn't ring a bell? For Brother Moore to say that was Jesus in his glorified state. Now outside of looking old, why couldn't Jesus be standing there? Why couldn't the Ancient of Days be Jesus standing there with a white wig on? Because the prophet said that's what he saw. But see, Brother Moore was emphasizing that it was him showing him in his glorified state, and it looked like an old man with white hair. What's wrong with having white hair? But have you ever really considered what was taking place? Let's go back to Daniel. Let's go back over and read Daniel just to see. And we know the Ancient of Days, I mean, I'll be glad to find you all these quotes. Now, the Ancient of Days was the Lord Jesus Christ. The wig is the symbol of authority. Not an old man. Symbol of authority. The judges, you know, convened court with the white wig showing it was supreme authority. Look at verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Look back in Revelation 1 now. Verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Alright. Now what's the difference? Wouldn't that be the same person? In other words, Daniel is showing the white throne judgment. See? John is showing the white throne judgment. Verse 10, now back in Daniel 7 and 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. And in 10,000 times 10,000s stood before him. Notice it's thousands ministered unto him. But then it's 10,000 times 10,000. A whole lot more standing out there before him. And the judgment was set and the books were opened. All right, the first book is the book of the sinners. All right. And watch. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, who is this Ancient of Days? Almighty God. Who is Melchizedek? Almighty God. The description that is given is the same as Revelation 1. All right. Same thing. So what's Revelation 1? God shown in bride form. Are you listening? God shown in bride form, right? Shows to the white throne judgment. shows no difference between him and her. So Daniel would have to be shown the same thing. But have you ever kept on reading? Verse 12. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, and their lives were prolonged for a season and time. That's like a fire. What's now? And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, it doesn't say like unto, it says like the Son of Man. Revelation says like unto the Son of Man. Now you're seeing the Son of Man again. Now you're seeing Revelations and Daniel be saying the same thing. God and His bride at the white throne judgment. But how many of you are keeping on reading? You said, Brother Dale, I don't understand you. I know, because it takes a revelation. I'm sorry. I try to preach by revelation. I know I don't suit everybody's taste. I don't suit my own. But I've tried. I've tried to get you to see the Word. I fail bitterly in every form. Husband, father, pastor. And that's not making a lie or trying to get you to feel sorry for me. It's God's honest truth. But I've tried. When we get there, you might not like me here. But when we get there, things will change. So that I'm not concerned about it here. Sure I am. I want everybody to love me. I want to love everybody. But I got to tell the truth. Have you ever read this scripture? Now you'll see why the prophet knew that that Ancient of Days couldn't be who Brother Jack Moore thought. Because listen. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like unto the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven. Now, the clouds of heaven's the bride of Christ, right? Over Revelation 1. And came to the Ancient of Days. Are you listening? And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. That's so confusing until Schofield says verse 13 and 14 takes place before verse 9. That's not true. That's what he says about it. The scene in heaven before the coming of the Son of Man in verse 9 through 12. That's not so. This is the white throne shown exactly as it's shown in Revelations 1. Because in Revelations 1 it's shown seven golden candlesticks and one in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks like unto the Son of Man. Now you're coming to the white throne, and you see one sitting on the throne, which is Almighty God. In what form? Jesus. Right? Jesus Christ. Well, won't he be there in the form of Jesus, the flesh? Come on, I'm letting you think. That's my whole thing, is to get you to think. Go home and pray. Surely any doctrine of River Jordan, etc., even by now, they would amen what I'm saying. Because they would agree that by now, in the millennium and the things that are taking place and all of these things and coming to the white throne, that surely by now Jesus is caught back up with his body. And his body's been made eternal, or something's happened. Of course, you don't ever hear him preach about it, but Surely they'd all even agree to that. But what is the scene in here in Daniel? The Ancient of Days, sitting on the throne. Who is the Ancient of Days? The Lord Jesus Christ. One true and living God. But now here comes one like unto the Son of Man. One like, let me make sure I get that word where anybody will. Oh, he didn't quote that right. One like the Son of Man comes to the one sitting on the throne. Well, Brother Dale, that's two people. Now, I believe I could do a better job preaching the Trinity than all these Trinitarians could, but it ain't right. Because those type of things, what I would bring up, not who done what and who called who on the River Jordan and what was going on. Listen, I'm not trying to show you how smart I am. I'm trying to show you by revelation who God is. Now, you agreed a while ago, at least some of you shaking your head and a few amens, that Revelations 1 shows God in bride form, that God and His church had become one, and it was totally inseparable. We went over to Revelations 19 and saw Him coming back into the millennium, which takes place before the white throne, and seeing that they have become King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you rejoice and say, Amen. You can't separate Christ and His church. Now you've got one sitting on the throne that is the Ancient of Days. And the prophet said, I just couldn't see that Jesus being an old man. He said, then the Lord spoke to me about the wig of authority. He never changed his thought about Jesus Christ being the one sitting on the throne in Daniel. Come on. He didn't change his doctrine to say that it was wrong. He just said he couldn't see that Jesus being an old man. He said, but then I seen the wig of authority. And said, there he sits. Showing the Ancient of Days is Almighty God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now here comes one like the Son of Man to the Ancient of Days. You reading your Bible? But I just don't understand that, because you got God up here and you got this down here and this over here and that. I thought we believed in a little word the prophet used called immorphy, which means changing in form, and that he can be in many forms. He can be shown in many forms, even at the same time. Because you can see the church in the candlestick. Then you can see Him in the church in the candlestick. You're just so deep you confuse me. I only confuse those that the Holy Ghost don't correct. I'll tell you this way. Now you can do what you want to about it. Because I know a lot of people think I'm an intellectual. Which it sure is odd to pick up them quotes that's coming back from the people out on the field. And they're not saying, Brother Dale, you're so deep we can't understand you. We've not got one back yet. Joseph's back there. He can correct me if I'm wrong. We've got not one back yet that says we can't understand you. Every quote coming back says, Brother Dale, thank you. Thank you for your ways, your preaching, and your doings. Because we see, then understand. Amen. I know you've got to have a background to understand what's being said. But the Holy Ghost in you will not turn down the word. And the Holy Ghost in somebody in Italy, Germany, China, anywhere, he won't turn down the word. Amen. And they'll say, well, that man's talking about something. I don't really understand all he said, but he's talking about Jesus being God. Amen. He said, send us some more. Amen. But listen. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven. Now, clouds of heaven is not thunderstorms. That's the bride. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Where do we get over in Revelation? It's about 5. Where there's one sitting on the throne. And Brother Branham says that Jesus was behind the throne, or back of the throne, is a better, I think, it's the quote, making intercession. But said he walks forth, climbs up on the throne, and sits down. Now there's already one on the throne. He said, and becomes the one on the throne and says, I done it. That's souls in prison, I'm pretty sure of the quote. But I was the one that done it. Does that make 2 or 3 gods? When you see the bride of Christ and you see Christ and see him as one, does that make 2 gods? That makes you and God one. The way it's supposed to be, because you're a child of God. I can't separate myself from my children. I could pull back away from them, get away from them, whatever. But what would happen? They can take the DNA and prove who their daddy is. You see what I'm talking about? Verse 14. And there was given him, who is this him now? The Son of Man. Dominion and glory and a kingdom. That all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Matthew 20, wrong about verse 21. The little woman comes to Jesus. She knew he kept talking about a kingdom, a domain, a kingdom. And she asked a question. She said, can my 2 sons, one sit on one side of you and the other on the other side of you in your kingdom? Because he kept speaking of a kingdom that was something to come. He said, that's not for me to give. Brother Branham said it like this about that scripture. Said the test hadn't been come yet. Said it'll be given to those that the test had overcome. You know, to sit closest to him. It doesn't matter to me if I'm 14,000 million miles away from him. There'll be that many people between me and there. And you know where I'll be? Sitting right side of him. Because you can't explain that. That's eternity. I won't have to call him on the telephone and talk to him way down 14,000 miles away. There won't be everybody else getting in line there. Everybody be able to talk to him at the same time. You can do it now, can't you? Is it any problem? You ever get a line busy? You know, you ever get a signal when you're praying? Meet, 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 meet. Line's busy. No. I'm sure he does a lot of times when he tries to call us. Right? But you see, church, Revelation 3:21, when we get back to it, he said, will sit with me in those who overcome. That's the seventh church age. Will sit with me in, not on, in my kingdom, domain, as I have overcome and sit down with the Father in his kingdom, domain. So who was sitting on the throne in Revelation? Who's the Ancient of Days? The Father. Who's the Father? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, I and my Father are one. When Jesus died, he died Son of Man. Sure, he raised us. It was the Son of Man that raised. But he couldn't come back in the church as Son of Man. So the prophet said it like this, said he died Son of Man, rose Son of God. But it was the Son of Man that come up out of the grave, but he couldn't manifest himself down through there as that. So he manifests himself as the Son of God. What? Father's throne. So down through seven church ages, it's been the Father's throne. Which is what? Which is the same thing in Revelation 5. When you got the throne and one sitting on the throne, that's the Father's throne. That's what the Ancient of Days is. That's the Father's throne. Here comes the bride. To sit on the throne with him, in the throne. The promise to the overcomer. As I said, that sister, see, she kept hearing that. She kept hearing about his dominion. Kept hearing about, kept, they got picking up that he was talking about something a little different than what everybody's talking about. Talking about something like personal about himself and a domain that he would have. And she wanted her children to sit. Wonderful mother, wasn't she? He said, oh, she shouldn't have bothered him with that. Well, why not? Don't you want your children sitting there? I mean, wouldn't you be happy to walk down 14,000 miles and sit down if one of your kids could sit down right beside of him? What's wrong with you mentally? It doesn't matter to me if I miss this thing and die and go to hell. If I get to look up there and I see you, some of you sitting in that kingdom with him, I'll be the happiest man hell could ever have. It won't be the Baptist trying to air condition the situation either. It'll be the devil tied up down there, because it won't be my screaming and hollering because of him hurting me. It'll be my screaming glory, hallelujah, I saw somebody make it. And I had a little bit to do with it. Sorry that I can't have a whole lot, but I had a little bit to do with it. But listen, go back to your scripture now. With all that behind, go back to the scripture now in Revelation. Revelation's 1. Verse 17. And when I saw him, now who's the him? The same him that's over here in Daniel, like the Son of Man, the him, with a dominion, a kingdom. Why? Because the millennium is to the Jews. But it's a promise to David that his son would sit on his throne. And it will be the Son of Man in the millennium. The bride will be there. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you want to spell out for me to go back in 1969 that the bride of Jesus Christ will be the Son of Man? Hallelujah. I was going to go with all of that like I did before years ago, but if you don't know that by now, there's something wrong with you. I gave you the quote where the prophet said, God's not complete without you. The fullness of the Godhead bodily, Christ is in the mighty God unveiled, and the unveiling of God, the bride becomes the fullness of the Godhead bodily. She becomes the Son of Man, the Word made flesh. Because it's the Son of Man is the only one can be adopted. If there's anybody in this day ever gets adopted, it'll be the Son of Man. Not one person. Bride form. Bride form. Daniel shows bride form. One like unto the Son of, like the Son of Man going towards the one that's the Ancient of Days. And becoming one. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Watch. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now this is so great of a personality of the person of Jesus Christ speaking until it's red letter. Verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. the Son of Man is the one that died. God can't die. But he said, here I was dead. I believe it's spoken words original seed. Brother Brown said, there the Word laid in the tomb dead, waiting on the life to come and raise him. But now separate this one. Take your River Jordan doctrine and separate this one from the body. Because this one in red letters saying, I died, but now I am alive. Where at? In bride form. That's the proof of whether he's alive or not. Listen. And I fell at his feet. At his feet, that's the title. Showing one true and living God. Now let's read what the prophet had to say about this person. Number one on your notes. Patmos Vision, preached in 1960, 1204 E, in the evening. Now just a little comment before we read again. This morning we've taken the supreme deity, the revelation of Jesus Christ, who God revealed him to us this morning as the supreme deity. The great I am, not I was or will be. I am always, and we notice in this first chapter of Revelation, to the revelation, what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? What's the first thing he reveals himself here as? The God of heaven, not a triune God, but a one God, and he reveals himself that way in the first, in the revelation, and speaks it four times in the first chapter so that there will not be a mistake. The first thing you got to know that he is not a prophet. Now this one is standing there. John fell at his feet. He's not a prophet. Watch it. See, if it had been the Son of Man standing there, he could have bowed down and called him a prophet. Because the Son of Man was the prophet. But he's in bride form. He is not a junior God. He is not a secondary God. He is God. He is God. And so therefore the revelation came forth. And we still continue with it tonight on down as we get his sevenfold personage of his being. All right, paragraph 257 of the same message. He's reading the scripture and said, I fell at his feet, he's dead. My, the prophet couldn't stand no more. Now he's talking about John. See such a vision. He just sapped his strength. And he fell right down at his feet as dead. Now watch. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Oh my, not a prophet. God. I am the first and the last, and I'm the first of the revelation, the last of the revelation. I'm he that was, I'm he that is, I'm he that will come. This one he saw was not a prophet. Was God. But in what form was he in? One like unto the Son of Man. What form was Daniel like? One like the Son of Man. Same person. Who's that person? Christ. Where's Christ? In his people. Are you listening? See, you can't separate the bride and Christ. We become little messiahs. Is that what the prophet said? We become little Christ. The bride of Jesus Christ around the world and all down through the ages will be standing there one day. Now listen to what I'm saying. He has to come in Son of Man form in this day, but that doesn't mean that down through the ages he wasn't there. Brother Tom was reading there one while ago, shows in every age he's there the same. They just didn't know he was the Son of Man. He never changed. He's in bride form.
under the Son of Man. And Daniel sees him coming
to the one that is the Ancient of Days. And is granted a dominion, a power, a kingdom, a domain. I thought we believed that we were joint heirs, according to the Scriptures, with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs means that you own just exactly what He owns, or I've missed my understanding. That's what I'm trying to show to you, what I've tried to show to people around the world. That even the Bible itself shows when the bride comes into the millennium, she comes back to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You can't separate her and God. Then we go to Revelation 21 and 22, and you can't separate her from the church or the city that's coming down. Because I and my Father are one. The Son of Man in the bride. How do you think I feel standing here tonight seeing all of this open when 1969 I preached that in Athens, Georgia? Oh yeah, I've been ridiculed about it. About 1970, somewhere in the first parts of the 70s, Brother Lee Vail began to preach about the bride and the Son of Man. Everybody went haywire with it. Amen. Thank God somebody got it. They might have got it the wrong way or might have preached some of it the wrong way, but there's one thing about it, truth come out. Doesn't matter to me who preaches as long as it gets out. To see who you are. It is He that hath made us. I remember that years ago, Brother Collie, preaching there in Psalms. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The bride of Jesus Christ can't be separated from Jesus Christ. No more, and I gave you some quotes there. Well, let's just see. No more. Where's that one at? Yeah, look at the seven church ages, number 5 on your notes. 1954, 512, paragraph 211. Watch. It's the church speaking to him now, waters. Revelation 17:15 said, waters means thickness and multitudes of people. Now, his voice, or this being that was standing there looking like this. Now listen, this being that was standing there looking like this, Christ in His church, there's the being looking like this, Christ in the church, as the bride and Christ being one, like husband and wife is one, the church and Christ being molded together with one person, the same Holy Spirit. The things that Christ did, the church does also. Do you see it? That beautiful church there in holiness and power and majesty with seeing visions, signs, wonders, everything like just like He did. Here it is on earth giving all praise to God saying, I can do nothing except the Father shows me. But He showed me, and here it is, and they can see these things go to taking place. Many people, not just the one, it was the whole church, the seven churches molded together as the one great ransom body of the Lord. The Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, all that's born again with the Holy Ghost speaking with the power of God, that's the body, that's the body. Next one's off the token, 1963, 9:01 in the AM. It has to be because a woman and her husband become one. They become one, and so does the bride and Christ become one. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. You remember these former treaties, O Theopolis, have I wrote to you, that Jesus began to do and continues to do. His death didn't stop Him. No, sir. He returned again, not a third person, but the same person returned back again in the form of the Holy Ghost. And it continues to work on and continues on, said the book of Acts, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the token. That's the token. Come on, boy.
John fell at his feet, so engulfed by what he saw. He fell at his feet. He saw God in his church. And he couldn't separate. It's the same person. The one person. Daniel said, the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days and received dominion, powers, and a kingdom. Can't you see that those things that I've tried to tell you, it's very easy to read the Bible when you understand how to read it, because you're not looking and trying to figure out all of these things. That's what happened down through the church ages. Down through the church ages, you're up on earth. You go from the Son of God, kingdom, domain, to the Son of Man for a rapture in bride form. The prophet said that he would become visible among us. He didn't say corporal, because he knows he doesn't become corporal. We meet him in the millennium, and we meet him in the hour going up for us, but then he comes back in the millennium to the earth in a corporal body, an eternal glorified corporal body, you know. But you see, church, have we missed our day playing with little toys? I'm just as guilty as you are of letting feelings and things get in my way. But we need to get rid of our feelings. So I'm starting something today that's going to end probably my time as a ministry here in this church, because you'll end it. Because from this day forward, when I see you with a little pouty, petty feelings on your shoulder, I'm going to call you out. Not here. I'm coming to you. And I'm going to say, what's wrong? I'm coming to you. I'm going to say, what's wrong? When I hear of a little yakety-yakety-yak about something, I'm coming to the ones that yakety-yaks, and I'm bringing you together. I've tried my best to pastor you in love, and to try to understand you, and to try to get along with you, and to know and realize that I'm just as bad as you are in the human element. Well, if it won't work in love, we'll go to the whip. Don't come in here someday and somebody's not up here leading, singing, or playing an instrument, or doing anything, and you see them sitting down, and then start yakety-yakking among the crowd, won't know what's wrong. Come to me and I'll tell you. Not my children, I don't care who it is. From now on, I'm either going to be one way or the other, because I've tried. I've tried it, and tried my best to love you and to do everything I could to overlook the problems. So from now on, when a problem comes up, I'll solve it. So the church will be empty, or it'll be in glory. That goes for my family, goes for my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and for everybody sitting in this building. And you got any problems with me, come to me. Because if you go to somebody else and start yakking, and I know you do, I know the phones ring around here to everybody else but me. Everybody knows what's going on in this church but me. I hear about it, I'm coming to you. I told you years ago I'd do that, and I never did, because I'm still human. I love you, and you think I don't. I've cried and prayed and everything in the world to try to solve problems around here, to try to see it, that let God work out the troubles. So don't be surprised when you miss the next time I call you and say, where you at? Where was you at? Well, it ain't none of your business. Well, at least I'll call you and ask you where you was at.
I'll find out. So we'll see which way you like it. Because I've cried and prayed and tried my best to be loving as I could to understand everybody's problems. So, I'll try to be like all the other pastors. And then you'll call me a Lord. Do what you want to. Because there's one thing you can't say. You can't say like these other preachers. You can't say that I've took this pulpit and whipped you with it. Now, if you think you have, come to me out of service and we'll see about it. Because when you tell me about some little bitty thing, I'll bring up a lot of big ones and tell you I didn't bring them up. But you see, church, I've tried to preach the gospel to you. Because that's the only thing that'll put me and you in the rapture is the gospel.
That's right.
Let's stand. What we got? Number 80 in the red book. It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride, united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. Hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. And should the Savior call today, Jesus say, well done, or go away. My home is for the pure, if I can never stay. We shall see the King when He comes. You have a need, the altar's open. That same one is here. Right now. That saved me. And has led me. He's here right now. You can believe it or not. Because I couldn't convince you anyway. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let it be as our brother is asking it. Amen. The King, when He comes, He's coming in power. Blessed hour. Lord Jesus, You heard our brother. So just take everything out of him. Fill him with Your love, Lord. Fill him with Your word, Father. We know and we've watched our brother grow and grow. But yet now he wants to grow more. So let it be unto him in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Just come and let's believe and see. Lord Jesus, You heard our sister. She got problems in her joints and hurting her, Lord, her knees, her elbows. And that. We know that by Your stripes she's healed. But we like the best thing where she said her attitude. And Lord, just reach down and change that. In Jesus' name. He's here tonight. You ask Him and you'll see. If you'll believe it, you'll see. Amen.
when he comes. He's come.
Lord Jesus, just clean everything out of our sister. And Lord, sometimes we don't really realize how much we're asking something that could really be a rip to us, that it could cause us a whole lot of problems. But yet our sister wants everything out of the way, no matter what the cost. Just let it be you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? We shall see the King. We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming in power on heaven's blessed isle. We shall see the King when he comes. Listen, that's something to take place this week. It's changed my whole life. Because I failed you as pastor. Closest I ever come in my life to just quitting tonight. You don't realize that. You hear me say something sometimes like that. But let me tell you. Just a simple little thing and you wouldn't think nothing about it. I told you, God's here. I don't go by feelings, but I know what feelings are. You just come up here and find out. Whether you're a doubter or a believer, come up here and find out. I had to go get some vinyl stuff, material work into the house. I was just so down and out. I went ahead and I got the vinyl. I tied it in the back of the truck real tight. It was sticking out a long ways, some J channel and F channels, long pieces. And I know it can slide out. But I tied it good because I tried to. I tied it to the tailgate. I tied the tailgate down to the bumper. As tight as I could get it. Tied the ropes off real good. Wrapped it around and around the stuff. And tied it. I started down the road. That nervous feeling that always comes to me that's here now. I thought, oh God. What's wrong? I drove on in home. Got out, walked to the back tailgate of the truck, and all of it was gone. There hangs the rope still tied to the back of the truck. $49 worth. I got in the truck. Started back up the road. My wife called me and said, where you at? I said, I'm going back to Gainesville. I said, because I lost my material. But if I'd have listened to that nervousness, something was going on, but I didn't. That was right there when I left coming out. I went on back up and I got the material again. The man told me, he said, because he knew I'd been there 30, 45 minutes before. And I got the same material, except for the big box of material I had in the back of the truck. He came out there with it in a box. And this is what he said. He said, I put it in a box this time. I thought, well, one of two things. Either you're speaking, Lord, that he put it in the box, or either it slid out right here in this parking lot. Because that's what he said. He didn't say another word to me or anything. He said, I put it in a box this time. I said, well, I appreciate it because I just lost that load that I left here with. He said, oh, you did? I said, yes, sir. He said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about if I'd have listened to that little nervous feeling just about the time I was pulling out to leave and coming down the road. But yet I was so engulfed in my own petty feelings of pity patty part of my own, you know, how down and out it was until I didn't listen. You said, that's just minor. I agree with you. But you tell me, how come the man said, I put it in a box this time? I went all the way up the road and all the way back. It's nowhere on the side of the road. Sure, I'm figuring somebody, if it slid off, yeah, somebody grabbed it and took off. Hey, man, he got him $50 worth of material. Let him use it, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, that little still voice, if we just listen to it, sometimes it'll save us a lot of trouble. Listen to him, he'll talk to you. Lord Jesus, you know I've tried. I've tried to preach you, I've tried to do, and I failed living you. I'm sorry. But help me to remember that little voice, that little feeling, Lord. Save me a lot of trouble. We love you. Just open your word unto us, Lord, because that's the only hopes we have. I could beat the people to death about clothes and hair and dress and attendance and everything. It wouldn't do a bit of good, because it ain't going to change nobody. That's the problem, Lord. I know and realize that. I know even if I started now hammering away at us, every one, it wouldn't change a one, because you're the only one that can change any of us. Come on the scene, Lord. Change us. We love you. If you're through with us as a minister, then just let me know, and that'll be fine. You just have your way. Lead us in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Remember, the service is Sunday. Pray one for another, the Lord will bless and guide each one of us.